Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to discuss, we'd like to talk about it with you. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Boy, we've just been talking about some really exciting stuff this month with the new covenant, this covenant of life. It's not like the old covenant that brought about death and condemnation and judgment and all of those awful things. But that's what it was meant to do, to show us our need for Christ. But in this new covenant, we receive life. It truly is a covenant of life that's brought to us by the Spirit of God. But in doing so, it also brings us into the very presence of God.
Right.
Under the old covenant, there was a separation. And we see that so clearly when we read the Old Testament. I mean, time and time again, we see that there's this huge barrier that stands between the people and God. We even see that in the temple.
Right.
But the day Jesus died, something incredible happened. Something strange happened. Those that were around the temple, they heard some noise, and they probably rushed in to see what it was. And when they looked, the curtain that guarded the way into the Holy of Holies had been ripped from top to bottom, signifying that access into God's presence was now made available to anyone who named the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we talked about that yesterday, but a couple of passages to follow up with that, because this is such an important issue for us. Sometimes we still approach God fearfully, cautiously, because of our sins. But the fact that Jesus has taken away our sins once and for all, the sacrifice has been made, that gives us the confidence to enter in. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Faith in who? Jesus Christ. Faith in what? What he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." Jesus knows what we go through. A lot of times I hear people say, "Oh, God just doesn't know how I feel. God just doesn't know what I'm going through." Yes, he does. Jesus knows exactly what we go through. And because of this, because Jesus has gone through the heavens on our behalf, has presented his blood as a sacrifice, and God the Father was satisfied with that, we can then approach the throne of grace with confidence, and we can enter in and receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I think this is just one of the most moving elements of this gospel message, the fact that we can go boldly into the throne of grace. And this isn't the only time that the writer of Hebrews mentions this. He follows up the whole discussion on the sacrifice of Christ with some incredible encouragement for us, doesn't he, Richard?
Oh, yeah. It's over in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Listen to the way the writer describes what Jesus has done. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful."
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
And again, there's confidence to enter in. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you standing in that confidence as a believer in Christ? Do you know that his shed blood gives you entry into the Holy of Holies? Go in there in your time of need. There's nothing to fear.
No.
the punishment for your sins, Jesus took. He took all of it. So there's no punishment left for you. So let the blood of Jesus carry you into the throne room of God's grace so that you can receive grace and mercy in your time of need.
Indeed.
Do we blow it? Do we sin? Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Does that prohibit us from going in? Absolutely not. Why? Because our confidence isn't in us, it's in Jesus.
Yes.
It's in his shed blood, and that shed blood can carry us in at any given time.
And that is good basic gospel right there.
Yes, indeed.
And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone if you have a question, if you'd like to enter into this particular part of the conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If there's some particular Bible passage you can't quite understand, we'd like to talk about that with you as well. 1-800-677-9377. Lines are open right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Sonny, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sonny.
Yes, good evening, Pastor.
And to you as well.
Yes, can you hear me? Good evening?
Yes, Hello? We can. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm a 26-year-old man of God. And I've read through the Bible 25 times over the 25 years. But I've never seen in the Bible, as far as speaking of tithes in the New Testament. It always refers back to the Old.
That's right.
Preparing to go around the world to minister and teach the gospel. But I prefer taking the truth with me. Do you think it's time to stand up, maybe to inform the leaders or the congregation and let them know that I've never seen it in the New Testament? Is it time?
Well, I think it's time. I know pastors who have done that. One of our good friends, Timothy Riles, who pastors the Beulah Baptist Church right there in New York, in Harlem, he stood up before his church and said, you know, I've been demanding you to pay these tithes each and every week, and I've been reading the Word of God, and I've discovered that we are to excel in the grace of giving. And I want us to take a look at that. And he started teaching what the New Testament teaches about the grace of giving. And everything changed within his church in a positive way. He saw giving increase. Why? Because there was a freedom that the people there started to enjoy. And they started to truly respond to the impulse of God's Spirit working in them, to such a degree that they started giving more and experiencing more joy in doing so. So when we talk about tithing, we understand that that was a part of the old covenant. It was an obligation put upon the people of Israel to help provide for the religious life, the sacrifices, but also to support the Levitical priesthood. They were prohibited from having land or cattle or any of those sort of things. So this was a way to provide for them, and God instituted that. And when the old covenant ended and Jesus became our high priest, that was done away with. And what was ushered in was this grace of giving. And that's what we need to excel in as believers in Christ.
Mm-hmm. I'm affiliated with many, many, many churches throughout the Brooklyn area. And the majority of them that I go to is based on everything on Malachi 3:10. I'm binding in my spirit I believe that I'm ready to stand and just inform them that I just never seen it in the New Testament. I mean, it's time, I do believe.
Well, I think the important thing, Sonny, and what we'll do, I'll put you on hold. We have a little resource called Giving the New Covenant Way. I'd like to send that to you. But the whole idea is to let the giving aspect of it come under the whole discussion about the new covenant. Are we old covenant people or are we new covenant people? Because that answers the question about how then we should give. And if we realize that we're in this new covenant, then tithing kind of fits in, the discussion of tithing fits under that umbrella, and it makes sense. I've found if you just attack the tithing issue, you're bringing on a fight. But if you talk about the new covenant, then wheels start to turn. People start to think, well, if that's true, then what about this giving thing? And now you're able to really talk and communicate in a very positive way.
I see. Very good. That's good.
Well,
I have one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
One more. As well as reading the Bible through and through, I've never seen a reverend.
Yeah, that's not in the...
I understand that we reverence the Lord.
Right.
But as far as calling a man reverend, I never seen...
That's why I ask people to call me the very reverend.
The right reverend.
But, Sonny, you're right.
I did it in my young years as a Christian man. But as I've grown up, I just don't see it.
Well, that's the whole thing. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no division between clergy and laity. We've come up with that division. We think some, you know, the clergy are more spiritual, have, you know, a direct line to God, and we need to listen to them. But that's not the case in the body of Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We stand on equal ground at the foot of Christ. So we need to do that. We're all royal priests in this kingdom of God.
And just to finalize it, okay. Next time. I'll ask that question next time. But thank you for that answer because, I prefer going out with the truth than going out with the half-truth.
Well, that's the only way to go, Sonny. Let me put you on hold. We sure appreciate your call, and let me send you a copy of this resource called New Covenant Giving, okay?
I would appreciate it. I can't wait.
You're welcome, Sonny. You hang on.
Well, we pray it goes well with Sonny as he takes his stand on truth.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Yes, indeed. Have plenty of open lines right now, 1-800-677-9377. Would love to hear from you on this particular broadcast. In the meantime, let's go to New York and talk with Nick, listening to us on WMCA as well. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing fine.
Excellent. I actually, when I was on hold, I kind of heard, I think, the answer to the question I had was on Matthew 23:23, where Jesus talks about tithing, and he grouped it in with a lot of other things that they should have done, not to stop doing what you're doing, but you should also have love and grace and all that. My question is, the way I read the scriptures is that certainly we're not under the law anymore, but Jesus actually made giving even more difficult for us because he expects much more than a tithe from what I see from Scripture. You know, that he talked about money many times, and in many cases he asked people to pretty much, not that we're supposed to give up everything we have and not support our families and that, but he was really like, give beyond until it hurts, you know? And, you know, like he said, when the woman gave all she had, wherever you preach the gospel, tell what this woman did. So even though we're not under the law, I think he made it even more stringent that we really should be giving because where we give to is where our hearts really are, and it's a test of the heart and really where our
well,
spiritual
Nick, that's,
heart is at.
That's an excellent point you are making, and we're actually going to cover the topic of grace and money next month because it's a very critical topic for each and every one of us, and it really hits us in day-to-day living. But one of the lines that Jesus draws in his ministry is this line of worship. Who do you worship? Where does your heart go to? What does your heart really love? And that's why he said you can't serve both God and money. You'll be devoted to one and hate the other, or you'll love the one and hate the other as well. So he's drawing a line and saying, you're either going to worship money, which becomes an idol in our lives, or you're going to worship God. And so when he normally talks to, like that rich young ruler who said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, you should obey the commands. And he said, well, this, and this. And Jesus said, well, that's good. Now go and sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Well, he nailed this guy on his point of worship. His reliance was on his money, on his wealth, on his prosperity. That's what brought him meaning and purpose to life. And so Jesus was saying to him, if you worship money, then you can't worship me, because that has become an idol in your life. And you're right. Absolutely right. It does reflect kind of the condition of our heart, or where our heart really is. So it's a powerful teaching. Nick, what I found in life and in ministry through the years is this: very few people are content, and that's where money gets into the picture. You know, we get a raise and we spend all of that money, and now we're wanting more. We're not content with what we have. And the reason we're not content is because we're placing a lot of dependence upon money to do for us things that only the Lord can do. We're looking to money to buy us happiness, to buy us meaning and purpose. And so with that as, a source of worship, we're going to be restless. And whatever we worship, here's a truth: whatever we worship, that thing is going to control us. So if it's money, money's going to eventually control us, and it's going to be impossible to be content under that scenario. That's why we have to let go of it and trust ourselves to Christ, look to him in dependence, let our hearts worship him. And when we're under his control, then we can experience wisdom concerning what to do with money, how to handle money, all of those sort of things.
Absolutely. And one other part of that, I think that a lot of that teaching that you're talking about right now is lost when pastors teach about tithing or giving, because Jesus talks about blessings from giving. Now, I know, like you spoke yesterday, I was listening to yesterday's conversation, a lot of these pastors are out there extorting people, and that's the truth. I mean, you know, give $1,000 and you'll be blessed next week. You know, Jesus promised blessings, but not necessarily financial blessings. You can be blessings in your family, blessings with this, blessings with that. But he also said, store up your treasures in heaven. You know, he knows the condition of our heart, and that our money is one of the things we're tied to very closely. And he said, test me in this. You know, maybe there are going to be future blessings in heaven. You know, he has a principle of what you sow, you reap.
Yeah.
So you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. It doesn't mean you're going to get monetary blessings in this life. You know, you shouldn't look at it that way. But, you know, I hear a lot of people say that, well, I really can't afford to tithe, or I really can't afford to give. You know, God says he'll give back pressed down and shaken. You know, not like a half-empty cereal box that you open at the store. When he gives to you, he's going to give pressed down, shaken, rolling over.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of this, Nick. This is what I think, and that's a good point. If God is moving in your heart to give of your resources to, maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's, you know, the person down the street that's come upon some hard times. If God's moving you to do that, you don't have to fear. You can freely give, knowing God is going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about that. That's this miracle of relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So, Nick, I sure appreciate your call, and I appreciate your insight into this. I think you're really spot on what you're learning and what the Lord is teaching you there.
Okay, when is that series going to start? You were talking about this.
The first Monday in March.
That'll be the third.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah,
Thank you very much, and God bless you guys.
Hey, thanks, Nick. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Nick.
Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Tom, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
You're doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome.
The question I've got is, I've got a daughter that's in high school, and she has a friend. They're both the same age, and like I said, they're both in high school together. Her friend is really struggling with the temptation of homosexuality, and I'm having a real hard time figuring how I should address the situation. She lives with her grandmother, and I almost feel like maybe I want to tell her grandmother, and I'm just not really sure how to handle it. you know, she kind of told my daughter this in privacy, and, you know, if she was to find out that my daughter, you know, had informed me of it, then kind of the friendship there would probably be ruined. And I was just wanting to get maybe your idea on that, how you think I should maybe handle it.
Tom, that's a great question. I would suggest to your daughter to talk with her friend and see if she would be willing to kind of have a chat with the three of y'all on the issue, and to let her kind of, you know, provide a safe place where she can, you know, really talk about what's going on inside of her, those particular struggles. And then what I would do, Tom, I would encourage you to, you know, if they're open to it, to working with them through a Bible study. And I'll send you a copy of a Bible study that a brand new resource that talks about the grace of God, talks about our identity, because that's a real issue there. And if you can connect them to their true identity in Christ, what it means to be a child of God, it will give them a foundation on which to kind of bounce all of these fleshly temptations off of. And you say, hey, that doesn't match with what God says about me. And so it must be something that I need to move away from. But that's how I would approach this initially. You know, I'd want to find out a little bit more. I mean, maybe you know, the friend just told your daughter some stuff just for shock value. You know, I'd find out a little bit more of what's really going on there.
Right. You know, it has come into it's come so far where she's actually, you know, found another girl. You know, and they supposedly have a you know, a close relationship where, like, almost she feels something for the girl.
Yeah.
And she hasn't had a real close relationship with her father. And, you know, to me, it almost seems like she's been rejected by her father. Then, you know, that she's tried to have boyfriends growing up, and they've kind of rejected her. And she just found somebody that likes her for who she is. And I know that, you know, Jesus missing of that relationship. That's what she's been.
Yeah. Well, Tom, here's some good news that you can pass on. It's out of 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So however you approach this, do so knowing that you're there to be a minister of reconciliation, to provide a safe place where the issue can be discussed, knowing that Christ has already done something in regard to sin and that he's not counting it against us.
Right. Okay.
Well, you hang on, Tom. We'll send you that Bible study guide, and sure appreciate your question. You hold on.
Absolutely. And friends, when you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It constantly changes lives here and around the world. And what a privilege we all have to take part through our giving. Now we are in the final couple of weeks of our offer for our latest Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You'll find a donate link at basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. The New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Also, a great conference coming up, friends. We call it Stand 2014. Be sure to check our website for information on it. It's Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World, June 19th through the 21st. All the information is available at our website, basicgospel.net, or at stand2014.com. Also, a reminder that if you'd like a review of each day's broadcast or a particular call that you've heard on a broadcast, well, join our email list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net to receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcast. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear on this broadcast every day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.